Go, 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 shawty, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Look, mommy, I got the eggs, get into taking drugs. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me...
It's my birthday. Welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 345. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, the Mug. What is up, fellas?
And we start the episode by Frank making the episode all about him.
You're goddamn right, man. Why not? Shit.
There's much bigger news going on this week.
It's Happy Frank Branches Day. There's nothing
it's
bigger
than
that.
It's Happy Marriage Equality Day, bitch.
No, it's Happy Frank Branches Day. I'm sorry that I know the justices just ruled on that, but this is bigger than marriage equality, man. Come on.
Dude, I hate to break this to you, and you know, you're a cool guy and everything, relatively speaking, but you don't matter in the long run.
Get out of here, Mug. I should hang
none
on you right now.
None of us just matters in principle. The long run.
Look, let's take a poll of the audience here. We got a lively chat. Dungeon Buster's in there, Freak 5, Kaz and Wyland. I'm sure others will be joining too. What is more important, chat room? My birthday, Frank Branch's birthday, or the marriage equality decision that the Supreme Court rendered today. So I'll just leave that in there. And Mug, you don't count. So let's just leave it at that. What's up, dudes? What's going on?
Go marry yourself.
If I could, I would, Mug.
Yeah, I'm sure you would, narcissistic prick.
So what's going on? How's everybody's week?
I don't know why you're so happy about this Equality Day, because now gay people can be as miserable as straight people. Mm. That doesn't sound like good to me.
Yeah, but then we could all be miserable together. Misery loves company.
Don't you realize this means that the forthcoming gay divorce court? I mean, come on.
Look, Wyland's with me, even though he's exiled. He says the man who saw the pyramids built, not important? Nonsense.
If we have a gay divorce court TV show, does everybody give you Dressed Fabulous?
Frank makes a very good point. Frank has had nearly an infinite number of birthdays. There will only be one Marriage Equality Day.
Oh, my goodness.
Dungeon Buster. Frank's middle name is Ozymandias.
Son of a bitch, Dungeon Buster. Everybody wants to get banned today for some reason, exiled. I have no idea why. All right, guys, let's get started with news, Eric. Let's get the news out of here.
We're going to start with a very odd game from Silicon Era. It says, "You Must Build a Moat" is a frantic puzzle RPG sequel to 1 billion, I think. That's
what it
is.
Boat, not a moat.
Yeah. You must build a boat.
You must dig a moat.
I
want a moat. That'd be awesome.
10 million.
After 3 years of development, Luca Redwood has announced that You Must Build a Boat is his follow up to his popular match RPG 1 billion, was released for Windows, Mac. That's 10 million?
10 million.
10 million.
Yeah. Well, if you got a moat, you probably need a boat.
I lost track of how many zeros were there, so I just guessed.
Freak Fight says, damn it, commercial one. Mug was reading my last comment. I didn't get to hear Frank say I was exiled. You're exiled.
Anyways, it says it was released for Mac, Windows, Linux, iOS, and Android on June 4th. Uh-huh. And basically, it's a match 3 game with RPG elements.
Yeah.
And I guess you play the match 3 game to get parts to build your boat.
Sounds thrilling.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just another match three clone. You know, nothing could be as good as Marvel Puzzle Quest, but you know, whatever.
Have you ever seen Samegame, also known as Same Game?
No, I have not.
Google it. It's this neat little puzzle / RPG. It's a flash based. It's very small, very compact, and a lot of fun. Hmm. It's just spelled like same game, all one word.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next break. Do you have your links up?
Yay, links! Oh, wait, are we on the second story of news already?
Yeah,
second story.
I saw a picture celebrating gay marriage and our decision with a picture of two pyramid head of figmas or whatever the hell they are, figures. doing something, but obviously they couldn't do it because they have those darn things on their head.
Go ahead, Brake.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Atelier, and I'm not going to call it anything else, and I refuse to change the pronunciation. Atelier Sophia.
Right. Well, you didn't say Sophie, right? But you
well,
said Atelier, right?
Say the word, and it's Atelier.
Yeah, I'm going to call it Atelier.
There's no fucking L at the beginning of that word.
Yeah, right. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita. The next game in Atelier series appears to be Atelier Sophie. I'm working on it. In addition to the trademark filled by Koei Tecmo Games, say that three times fast. Koei Tecmo Games, never mind. Early Japanese magazine reports say Atelier Sophie is on the
wow, you went redneck. Atelier.
It's on the cover this week's Dengeki PlayStation. It appears Atelier Sophie has two artists.
You gotta say Atelier.
On the game, Atelier.
Atelier.
Update, Famitsu confirms Atelier Sophie is the next Atelier title. Alchemy and Book are the themes for the game. Atelier Sophie is in development for PlayStation. Wait, I already said that. That was in the damn title. Why would you...
It was in the update. They put it. Yeah.
I give a middle finger to the writer of this article.
Silicon Era's journalistic rigor strikes again.
Oh, man. Silicon Era, Destructoid, fucking Joystick. They're all the same, man. They suck.
Joystick is
none of them have editors, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Destructoid's okay.
All right. Let's move on.
I'd like to say I learned a little bit more about this, but apparently they're still going with the theme of having two protagonists in the game, and the other one's apparently an automaton.
A robot?
Yeah.
All right, Mug.
Well, they're not exactly robots because they look like they're made out of like gears and mana or something.
They're robots in disguise.
Yeah. Robots in disguise.
Moving on. Coming to us live from Ironic Sale, GameStop's retro shop debuts with hard-to-find RPGs like Illusion of Gaia. GameStop opened its retro classics section today, listing games from vintage consoles like the NES, SNES, Nintendo 64, Sega Dreamcast, Sony PlayStation, and Sega Genesis. The site advertises unforgettable RPGs like The Legend of Dragoon for PS1 and Skies of Arcadia for Dreamcast. Personally, I found both of those eminently forgettable.
I like Skies of Arcadia. I thought Skies of Arcadia was good. Legend of Dragoon sucks.
It just struck me as incredibly smarmy. I hated the characters. GameStop also lists a number of hard-to-find RPGs, including Enix's The Illusion of Gaia, Square's Secret of Evermore, the only Square title designed by their North American team, and Atlus's Persona Revelations, relocalized and re-released on the PlayStation Portable as Shin Megami Tensei Persona. Other rarities include Konami's gory Castlevania Bloodlines, Rare's Battletoads, and plus Double Dragon, which isn't included in the upcoming Xbox One title, The Rare Collection.
What the hell? It's not?
No, because of licensing issues with the Double Dragon thing. And Contra Hardcore for the Genesis. Fans can get their hands on rarer titles like Mega Man Legends 2 for the hefty price of $69.99 without a Power-Ups Rewards Pro membership. Other titles are priced similarly to what you might expect from eBay or Amazon, with titles like Bushido Blade 2 representing the low end of the spectrum at $12, while games like Chrono Trigger sit on the higher end of the spectrum at a staggering $89.99.
At least they're not trying to gouge you even more.
Yeah, I mean, like that's actually not a completely ridiculous price for that game.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, like if I'm not mistaken, it retailed originally for like $80.
Yeah.
Those who aren't enthusiastic collectors might
but
turn.
But it doesn't say if they include book or whatever, complete in box.
Yeah. Those who aren't enthusiastic collectors might turn to the digital marketplace, where the games are available as downloads for much lower prices than what they're offered here. For example, The Legend of Dragoon is available as the PlayStation Classic title on Sony's PlayStation Store for $5.99, and Chrono Trigger is still available on the Wii's Virtual Console for just $8. Mm. And it doesn't say this in the article, but Chrono Trigger is also part of the was it Final Fantasy Collection or Final Fantasy Anthology or something like that?
Yeah. It's awesome. Good on PSN.
It's not a great port, but it is still the same game.
I wonder if Square would be willing to do the DS port on the Wii U VC.
I bet you they would for a hefty price.
You know, one thing, I don't know if you guys know this, but on the on that PlayStation release of Chrono Trigger, it is literally just an emulator. The ROM is on the disc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dungeon
you
Busters.
Can even extract the ROM and dump it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
But it will be like several times larger than what it normally is.
Yeah. It's like, but you can pop it into ZSNES or whatever and play it.
Dungeon Buster says Skies was fun. Random attack frequency on the Dreamcast version, not so much. Yeah, I like the version on the they had a version of it on the GameCube that was good. Weiland says, I will never buy a, quote, retro game from GameStop. I fully agree with that. And Dungeon Buster says, judging from what I've seen...
Well, I might go there if my, like, other, like, buy-sell trade places don't have what I'm looking for.
Ugh, like, fuck Evil G, dude. Like, fuck them up the ass.
Dungeon Buster says, so far, everything they've shown, you can find on, like, eBay or Amazon.
I think, well, the thing is... You also have to bear in mind
that GameStop's the last resort for me.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we are not the average gamer. Most people, they were like, if they're looking for, you know, it's kind of like, you know, people go to Amazon or people go to Walmart or something like that. You know, the average person is going to turn to their primary retail outlet if it's if they happen to have it.
I would rather go to Craigslist.
And they decided to go game hunting.
Yeah, I would rather go to Craigslist than GameStop. Dungeon Buster says, judging from what I've seen of GameStop's stock of old games when they used to have them, I'm guessing most, if not all of these, are probably just the cart and a generic case.
Yeah, probably.
Everybody knows you're just trolling for ass on Craigslist, Frank.
this is very true.
I don't need to, man.
Looking at their selection of games, like I was looking at, like, okay, which of these do I have? It's like the most expensive thing that I actually have is like Mega Man 6 on the
NES. I might go for the licensed stuff, like X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
I've got
like $15, but you can find that pretty much anywhere.
Frank's Breakman is now known as Frank's List Man.
I have an extensive amount of RPGs.
I thought you were gonna say porn.
Well, porn too, man. But come on, you have to do is go to RedTube, man. You get enough porn there. No, I haven't.
You've been collecting it for what, a millennia now?
70s
like
you've
got
porn.
Caveman porn.
I was gonna say he has like Egyptian urns with porn on the.
You have to turn the urns to get the.
Basically the urns are like an old zoetrope. You turn them around, turn it around fast enough.
Yeah, exactly. You turn it around fast enough, you get the full picture. Yeah.
Oh wait, sorry. okay.
No, I have an extensive amount of RPGs going back to
Kin Dynasty Vass.
I think I even have Final Fantasy for the the regular Nintendo?
I still have that one. That one's actually pretty commonplace.
Yeah. But I mean I do. I have quite a few. And I've got 2-3 copies of some of them, like 6. I've got almost every iteration of 6 there is. Final Fantasy 6 and other shit. Dragon Quest. Oh my god. The first I can feel the first hang up of the day coming.
Yeah.
Freak Five says, yeah.
When you cut out a man's tongue, you do not tell the world.
Get out of here. All right, next story comes to us from Silicon Era. Speaking of Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy X, Ryder's next game, will also be heading to PlayStation 4. We already know that French developer Kabojo teamed up with Final Fantasy X writer Kazuji Nojima and Valkyrie Chronicles composer Hitoshi Sakimoto on an online and RPG called Zodiac or Canon Odyssey. And we already knew that it would be heading to iOS, Android, and PlayStation Vita. But now it has been revealed that Zodiac will be heading to the PlayStation 4 as a console exclusive. Kabojo explained to Digital... How is that exclusive? If it's going to other... never mind. Anyways.
I think it means timed.
I guess.
Or it's the only console it's going to be available for, because they don't, for whatever reason, consider iOS and Android consoles. Yeah.
In looking at that, I was thinking that, you know how basically Sony has, you know, Sony said that the Vita is now a legacy platform, and you know there's really not much of any particular.
Despite
note
the fact that they were pleased with the sales numbers, I don't get.
Yeah,
that.
Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, looking at this, you keep seeing stuff about JRPGs and stuff, or there's still a lot of development. Kind of just like with the PSP, there's still a lot of development going on.
I think this just means that Sony's done with it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think that you're going to see companies like Atlus and Xseed are going to be the reason to still own a PSP in the next couple of years.
Well, that was the only reason to own a PSP was because they were developing RPGs for that system. But the Vita is going to be the same thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, what's interesting is that, you know, Sony hinted at, like, they were waiting for the right time to, you know, reveal Gravity Days or Gravity Rush 2.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, is it going to be on the PS4 or the PS Vita? And I don't know if you guys have played Gravity Rush. It's actually a pretty good game.
I've heard of it. I heard it's good.
They're working
on a PS4 port.
I love this. Yeah. Wyland just posted a picture.
I haven't really dug my paws into it yet. I only played a demo back in Best Buy, like, before it launched.
Wyland just posted a picture of like the theme of the day, which happens to be gay marriage equality. I do, Ken, and it's a picture of Ryu and Ken getting married with the priest. It's pretty funny. I dig it.
Supposed to already be married.
Well, that totally explains anime because they were doing that naked bath together all the time.
Right.
That's just common. Japan.
That's I've gone to an onsen before. It's not that deal.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Next story, Eric, please.
Next story is from the Silicon Ra. God Eater Resurrection is an enhanced version of God Eater Burst. I kind of feel silly for buying the digital one on the sale for really cheap. But thankfully, it was really cheap. But Bandai Namco have announced in this week's issue of Dengeki PlayStation that they're working on the latest God Eater game titled God Eater Resurrection, which fits.
No, you missed something there.
God Eater Resurrection.
Thank you.
Yeah. Which fits the trademark Bandai Namco filed earlier this last week. And it's basically an enhanced version of God Eater Burst on PSP with new content, better graphics to match the new hardware, and new story elements that follow up to the story of God Eater 2, which also has an enhanced version on the Vita.
All right. Anything else on that, Eric?
It says it's going to come out in the fall.
All right, so there you go.
I got something else.
And they haven't decided what platform they're going to put it on, but I'm going to assume it's going to be a PS4 or Vita thing. It includes a new Predator style, which lets you consume monsters while in midair or dashing at high speed.
Yippity-doo.
Mobility, I guess.
What were you going to say, Break?
I'm looking at the picture for this. When I open up the link, I see four people's heads, basically. I can barely see the tops of the two on the end. They look like both innocent females, probably pretty young.
Mm-hmm. There's no such down thing little. Innocent female.
All of them are teenagers.
There's right, no so I scroll down a little, break. And she is barely wearing anything.
So woo! What you're saying is you got a boner.
Barely a shirt. Like, look, she looks like this sweet, innocent little girl, and all of a sudden she's a slut within, you know, barely a scroll.
That's your problem. You're slut shaming. We got to kick you off the show.
I'm not slut shaming. I'm just saying that's
a slut.
If you're equating having very little clothing to being a slut, you are slut shaming.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with being a slut, though.
Right, I agree with that, actually. There's nothing wrong with
that. I'm not
sluts.
Slut shaming is when you're saying, like, something like, oh, like, that, ugh, that slut, all she does is get around. Like, no, like, I'm saying, like, she's kind of
well, the thing is,
slutty, though.
You can't ignore the fact that slut is usually used as a term to degrade women.
Well, I don't know. That's like, look,
you can't even say it in like sincerity, like you the way you are. You aren't saying it ill intention, but a lot of people are going to read it that way.
I actually have a lulls in regards to this later, so we'll talk a little more about that in a bit. Let's move on to the next story, Break.
He just did that story.
No,
I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Sure,
that was Eric.
That was Eric. Go ahead.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. After almost three years of work, the Digimon world.
Hang on, did you skip this?
You skipped one.
Yeah, you skipped the same sex man.
Oh, I accidentally closed one. I didn't know.
Yeah,
if it came
I was gonna say you managed,
report,
like you so. Managed to skip the one your cursor is on.
Yeah, I didn't know if it came before this one.
That's
or
right.
After
we'll
this
go
one.
With that one, Break. We can do the same sex marriage thing one later.
Let me continue with this one. After almost 3 years of work, the Digimon world redigitalized fan translation is out. The fan team that has been working on translation of the PSP game Digimon World Redigitalization has finally finished it up and released it into the wild. You can download the patcher and patches on the project's website. Do note that the team has acknowledged that there are some bugs when running the patch on PSP. We have figured out the cause and a likely solution to the problem and should have an updated version of the patch out in a day or two. In the meantime, the game plays perfectly well on PPSSPP, and I'm guessing that's an emulator for the PSP.
Yeah.
To play Japanese PSP games.
On the Windows, which doesn't work very well, but apparently this game does.
The translation patch covers all names, titles, and in-game descriptions in English. However, what doesn't cover is the opening video due to legal and technical reasons.
I use a really old version, and my computer's probably not up to snuff to running it well.
We are extremely proud of our work, writes Roms. Is that an M? Yeah, Roms Star is one word from the translation team. So he thinks he's a star making Roms, huh? I guess if this works.
I don't know. It's like rats more.
Well, technically, this is an ISO game, but okay.
In playing through the game, there were times when it was hard to remember that this was written by us, that we're the authors of those very same English phrases that you guys are about to read. End quote.
Yeah.
Cool.
From Rom Star.
So there you go. Translation, if you were interested in Digimon.
I really
World.
Hope Bandai Namco decides to bring over the newest Digimon detective story game.
Yeah. All right, Mug, let's go with the same-sex story.
Yeah, yes. Coming to us live from A Coil Risen. I was mistaken. It's not A Coil Risen. It's from a completely different place. It's not Silicon Era this time.
I know.
I have to say that it's coming to us live from Diced Trouts. same-sex marriage confirmed for Fire Emblem Fates. Nintendo has confirmed in a statement to Polygon that same-sex marriage is an option available to players in the upcoming Fire Emblem Fates for 3DS. Nintendo's attack on the sanctity of marriage is complete. We can confirm that Fire Emblem Fates for Nintendo 3DS, which launches in Japan on June 25th, 2015, and is coming to the U.S. and Europe in 2016, includes the possibility for same-sex marriage to take place between the main character created by the gamer and another character in the game. Hooray for diversity and options! Oddly, the option of who you can marry is split between three different versions of the game. To keep things simple, I've made this handy list. Gay Edition equals Conquest Edition. Players encounter a male character, and they can marry as either gender. Lesbian Edition equals Birthright. This has got to be bullshit.
It is
Lesbian
bullshit.
Edition equals Birthright Edition. Players encounter a female character they can marry as either gender. Bisexual Edition. Downloadable Third Story Edition.
I think this is the author of this article.
This has got to be something.
No. These are things that Nintendo are doing.
Seriously? They're doing the gay and lesbian bisexual edition?
No. They're not calling them that. But
that's what we're saying. But,
Conquest, right, and downloadable third story edition. These are actual things. Like, he's not just bullshitting.
Yeah, there is a third story, which is going to be DLC. There are three versions of the game, but they're just equating each version of the game to what you'll be able to do.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyway, Nintendo previously took heat over not including the option for same-sex marriage in Tomodachi Life and for fixing a glitch that allowed it to occur. Nintendo never intended to make any form of social commentary with the launch of Tomodachi Life, Nintendo stated at the time, but now it seems like it has changed its tune. We believe that our gameplay experiences should reflect the diversity of the communities in which we operate, and at the same time, we will always design the game specifications of each title by considering a variety of factors.
Yeah.
By the three different versions.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure, man.
Maybe if you link up, like what you do with the Pokemon games, you can link up different versions and get the content.
I like the fact that Nintendo is stepping up to support this.
They got so much flack over Tomodachi Life, it's not really surprising.
Right. But I mean, look, if you're going to take a tack, this is the right tack to take, right? I mean, they're right. Like,
people were upset that they patched a glitch that caused something to happen, which, one, wasn't intended because it also led to your save file being corrupted. So that's why they had to fix it in the first place. They couldn't just leave that factor in there. Because they have to completely reprogram the game for that. So that's why they didn't do that.
Well, the thing is, you know, people are like, no, we never intended to make a political statement. The thing is, by leaving it out, you're making a political
statement. Yeah, you made a political statement.
Yeah, but they didn't – well, I guess them – it's more Nintendo and Japan just not caring about gays that much.
It's not just not caring. The thing is, sexual politics in Japan are still very, very medieval.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I meant, but
– yeah.
It's going to be like that for a while. Brake, did we lose you, dude?
No, I'm here. I was having a problem
with
Papa.
They're making progress. I mean, gotcha. They've got transgender people have holding political positions. And it's not that they're just transgender. They're openly transgender.
Yeah. I just think that this is a progressive thing to do because, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, even if they have to be dragged kicking and screaming into the modern era, it's still progress.
Like you don't hear Microsoft make these type of statements, or even Sony. I mean,
the thing is, Microsoft is and is very openly pro gay rights.
I haven't seen much of that. Maybe you know differently. I've seen them.
Is there plenty of gay sex in Halo that I don't know about?
No, I'm just talking about
IT back people all the time in Halo.
Yeah, and as a company, I mean, Microsoft, kind of like Google, and the thing is, like, all the big, all these big companies, like the people who are like, I'm going to boycott anything that supports same-sex marriage. Like, well, you're going to be boycotting basically all technology.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Fuck that. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, these things, that's all I was saying. I actually shared something.
Or the people that use technology to complain about how we have too much technology and people need to be monitored and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. All right, we got one more story. We're going to talk a little more about the gay marriage thing here, I'm sure, in a bit. So let's move on to the last story, Eric.
Last story is from Silicon Era again. Death Beneath the Labyrinth to release in Japan this October. Death Beneath the Labyrinth, CompileHeart's second title under their Hell's Number One House label, will release on October 8th, according to this week's issue of Dengeki PlayStation. And it says... report some details on the game systems involving the four forms, which can be switched between the form with the form change ability. I guess there's like a transforming thing in the game. There's also a system for enhancing stats and learning new skills through a magic stone feature. This might be interesting. He says there are two new characters, one called the Dragon Skull Warrior, one step short from Dragon Warrior.
Yeah, exactly.
And another one known simply as Sage.
Oh,
and
this is interesting.
Dragon Skull Warrior was designed by Gradius 5 and Macross 30 box art illustrator Hidetaka Tengen, and Sage is created by Metal Max series creator.
I was just going to say.
Yoyaka.
Hippies like to burn to drive out evil spirits.
That's interesting. I like that. What else, Eric? Continue on.
It says it's going to have a collaboration with the. The other game they're doing called Destroyer Trillion. It's going to have a pre-order bonus for that game involving that stuff.
Yeah. Are we going to see this here? Probably not.
I don't know. I mean, there's a good chance. I mean, Idea Factory brings over pretty much all of CompileHeart's games.
Now, earlier break, you were talking about skimpy clothing. If you look at this, this is also along those lines. We're going to be talking about that in a second here. All right, that's the news, guys.
I wanted to bring something up that you know we talked about bringing it back to the Vita. I was thinking you guys know how Falcom's developing East 8, and according to the trailer, it's coming for both PS4 and the Vita.
Mm-hmm. They haven't made any announcements since last year, though. So
no, they haven't. I mean, they're probably still deep in development. But it's probably, I mean, given
they're also working on another Sen game.
No, that's not uncommon. But I mean, they've expanded to the point where they're usually developing two games at a time. Mm-hmm. I have some ins with XSEED, and I think it's probably, and this is not a definitive thing, but it's probably safe to say that East 8 will come to the U.S. I mean, the games have performed well for XSEED.
I think that's a safe assumption.
I know for a fact they sell well on Steam too.
I know for a fact that the East games have been profitable. I can't say how much, but I know that they
pre-Steam release too.
Yes. Yes, pre-Steam release, and the East Origin and everything was a good seller and stuff like that.
Oh, I've heard the numbers were really good.
Yeah. I mean, Steam has been a big success for XC, which is awesome.
I think East's success is probably the main reason why they're so heavily into PC development now.
Probably.
Possibly. I mean, the thing is, I think that it wouldn't surprise me if we were to see Falcom, like once they have the Sen games out and East 8 is out, if they devote one of their teams. Like
well, I meant XC developing because they did have to reprogram a lot of the game to get it on there.
They have basically one person doing that. There's no development team at XC.
Well, sort of. A commando team.
Yeah, I know. But I was going to say, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw, and recycling the engine of Memories of Celceta into a remake of East 5. This is pure speculation on my part, but it's like it would not surprise me at all.
Using the same engine.
No, it's not. It's a completely different engine. The engine for Memories of Celceta was basically an enhanced version of that for East 7. But it's like it wouldn't surprise me if we saw a remake of East 5. This is pure speculation on my part. It's like I'm calling it. I'll bet you we're going
to
see it.
East 5 won't put you to sleep edition.
Yeah, I know. But East 5 was not a horrible game. It was not a great game, but it was not a horrible game.
It wanted to so much be a 3D action platformer, but it couldn't do it.
Dungeon Buster says, yay, more ease. And Freak 5 is
I know you could jump in that game, but and there was perspective stuff, but it was all top down, jump, so it looked.
Yeah. You can't jump diagonally, which is weird. You Freak can move 5, diagonally, but you can't jump diagonally.
Freak 5 is asking for the Exile of the Harmonica.
Diagonally in X-Ray,
though? No, Frank, let's be clear here. He's saying, this episode needs more.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No. Don't make me do it.
What, do you just, like, carry that around with you, or do you keep it on your desk?
I hung up on Mug.
This is coming from Monica.
You know you love me!
I was trying to ask him a question. That was rude.
What?
Okay, what were you going to say, Brake?
Do you keep it on your desk, or do you bring it with you everywhere you go?
He puts it in a black box, and it's just sitting on his desk.
It's just sitting next to the computer.
Oh, God. Mm. Why?
Because I can't be arsed to move it.
Why? You know, there's an excellent bit at the beginning of Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke where the old man is basically explaining. He's, like, talking to Cheech or Chong. And he's like, why? Or, no, he's like, when, boy? When? He's trying to get him a job and stuff. You guys got to check it out. Oh, my God. I hung up on Mug again. I can't take it. Mug! I hung up on Mug again. I'm not going to take that on my birthday, damn it. All right, that's the news for today, guys. No more.
Yay!
So, yay. What is going on? I can't get Mug back. What the hell is going on here?
He's crying now. See, you've hurt his feelings.
I hurt his feelings. I must have hurt his feelings. We'll hold off on that for just a second. Let's see. So, any homie discounts to talk about this week?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Let's see. This one's from Silicon Era. It says, Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition / 33% off on release week. And this is for PC, by the way. Yeah. Anyways, it's 33% discount show up on Germany-based retailer Games Rocket, and they dropped the price from $24.99 to $16.49, which I'm going to actually jump on because I'm pretty sure my PC could play a game as old as that, even if they did enhancements. Anyways, because the original was on Steam for a while. I don't know if they – I think you could buy either version, which is odd. They should just remove it from the store. There's probably – they probably keep it on there for people who might still have it. But I don't know why you'd want to buy it now. But there's a couple other stuff on here. Like you can get Valkyria Chronicles for $5 on Steam.
All right. Freak 5 says Up in Smoke. That's where Frank's money is gone. Good portion of it. Dungeon Buster says
Dark Souls 2 Scholars of the First Sin on Steam is 26 79. Nice,
there you go. Mug has that harmonica keybound from his inventory, Dungeon Buster says.
You could also get the original Dark Souls for $5 on Steam.
Yeah, I don't,
and if Frank weren't such a jerk, me being locked out of the call by Skype would not happen. Although I'm not even convinced it was Skype. I think Frank was
apparently you can get Batman Arkham Knight for $50 somewhere.
I was going to say, is it the Steam version? Because I don't think that you can get that.
No, it's PS4, and it's through eBay.
Yeah, and then the season pass is only a comparatively mild to $30.
Only $30. I mean, rape and pillage. That's
you can get a Bloodborne for $40 too.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Final Fantasy Type O HD pre-owned for the
zero
is $20 now.
Whatever.
That went down quick.
Yeah, I saw the reviews. It's like I saw the review of it in Game Informer, and they were not thrilled with it. They gave it a 6. I was like,
"Well, patching it so that it plays better." Hopefully.
6 out of 10 is not a bad score. I don't know why people think that that's a bad score. It's
their reviews skew high though.
Or you could buy a $50 PlayStation Network wallet card for like $45, so only $5 off that.
Mm. But still, I mean, it's in that case, it's essentially free money.
You're getting five free dollars.
Yeah.
What did you say about free money?
Yeah, I didn't know Breakman was a Jew.
I have a real quick lulls. My son's
a digital code, by the way, so it's mailed to you, email.
Yeah, I was sitting down, and my son was on the app.
Oh, yeah, there's also a PSN flash sale. I forgot to say that.
All right. Anything of note in that, Eric, or can I?
There's lots of stuff that you can go check it out yourself later.
Okay. I have real quick lulls. My son pointed out, Break, you earlier you were talking about the women with skimpy clothes deal that seems.
Yeah, just to pronounce, like, she looks like she's probably 14 or something like that, and she's wearing a shirt that shows.
Yeah, like everything.
Man, usually the go-to age for teenagers in Japanese stuff is 15 or 16.
Mm. Well, whatever the case is, my son found a comment. He was going to download a game. I believe it was a card-based game, which I can't stand. I can't remember the name of the game. I'll have to ask him.
Freak Fry says 6 out of 10 is technically that they think the game sucks, but they want to keep getting games for you. Nah, I don't do that, but a lot of other people probably do.
Yeah. I don't understand that. It 6 out of 10 is a good score to me. That's above average.
The thing is, you also have to bear in mind how, like I said, like, you know.
An average game isn't bad. It's just a lot of gamers want more than just average.
Yeah. It's not just that. You also have to bear in mind how the site reviews skew.
Yeah, like,
some sites skew high,
this is why my blog, Apostle Gamer, does not do review scores of any kind.
Plug.
Look, I like scores on games. I love scores on games, but when they're used the right way. If they use it as 5 is average and anything below that's below average, anything above that to 10 is above average, I love that.
Well, the problem is there's still that lingering the GameStop 7.7 effect.
Now, season pass is $40, Wayland, for Arkham.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, I know. That's bad. But anyways, my quick lulls was a comment my son saw for this game that he was getting, this card-based game. It was, I guess, from a concerned parent. I don't understand, but they basically were calling for a family-friendly version of the game without sexy women on every card. And
oh, noes!
Yeah,
did your son tell him to go fish?
Wait, are you talking about Magic the Gathering?
No, it's not Magic the Gathering. It's a card-based game. I can't remember what it's called. But I understand the sentiment. Like, if you want a family game, then you want a family game. But here's the solution. Don't download it for your kids. There you go. End of story.
Or if your family is all perverted, then they can all play, you know, the adult stuff.
Yeah. There's also the fact that, you know, here's another idea. Like, A, don't download it. But B, if you're going to download it, don't bitch when the creators won't, you know, kowtow to your notion of what they should do.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Oh, that's
too,
bullshit.
You know?
They got to do everything I tell them to do.
Freak 5 says, of course, a game that is.
The thing with the Game Pro phrase is that you're still getting a something out of 5 score, though. So it's kind of useless.
I like the scores out of 10. I think that's the perfect way of scoring.
Well, if they're doing like half stars, like if they're doing like the half out of 10, it's like it's still a fucking 10 out, you know, 10 out of 10 or, you know, like. Yeah. You know, 4.5 is still a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't mind out of five, but I really prefer
VogNetwork.com uses a grade scale, like ABC.
Yeah, I guess that's okay.
Actually, I kind of like the way Kotaku does it in the, should you play this game? Simple yes or no.
Do you like this? Then yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's essentially, they don't do, like, should you buy this game? Should you play this game? It's like, and their explanation for it is that the value of a dollar is very different depending on who's holding the money.
Yeah. Yep. I think if you're completely honest, like, if I were to do game reviews, like, my reviews people would look at and say, you know, he was objective and honest, and this scale says that he thinks this is an average game. Let me play it. See what I think of it. I mean, if people look at it that way, then I think it's valuable. Freak 5 says, of course a game that is 6 out of 10 for everyone else is a good game to Frank. When he was young, his only game was running from predators. How dare you. You are exiled, you son of a
bitch.
That
was awesome. Freak, you are unexiled.
No, you are not. You are exiled. Yes.
And one thing I think is, I always thought was kind of funny is that GamePro introduced, you know, GamePro is not, you know, that they're still they're talking about in chat, but, you know, GamePro, the magazine, you know, introduced something that has become part of popular culture without most people noticing it. The whole pro tip thing, that's a GamePro-ism.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I liked GamePro, man. GamePro was awesome. I wish that site was still around. But
I liked GameFan more.
Okay, guys, any
Why
Twitter?
Why you gotta be such a rebel?
Yeah.
Actually, I had an interview. Actually,
GameFan was import friendly.
I almost had a job with GameFan back in the 90s.
All right, Brick.
Actually, GameFan still exists. I mean, Destructoids tried to resurrect it.
I mean, like back when it was diehard GameFan.
Hmm. But it's a online thing now, though.
See, I'm not going to talk about this shit until they bring Nintendo Power back. That's what
I think the only gaming magazine still around is Game Informer, isn't it?
The closest thing to Nintendo Power now is a fan made magazine called. Nintendo Force.
Yeah, I don't want fan made. I want company made.
I want Atari Force comics. Bring them back.
Break.
I actually had the Atari Force DC run that was like 20 issues long.
Oh my God.
All right, break. Any Twitter questions? Or
I don't know if there's a question. There's definitely some comments here. Let's get to the beginning. Let's see. Sorry, it's still scrolling. I blame my computer. And I scrolled too far.
I blame your computer too.
But. Yeah, let me see here. Freak 5 says, I don't freak. He says, if at Freak 5 Chaos, of course. He says, I don't think at Frank Branches was using a box. He probably uses a thimble. He would be swimming in anything else.
Oh my God, dude.
And that's in reference to something we talked about last week.
A thimble, and come on now. Let's be fair. A thimble is what Frank uses for a condom.
Get out of here. God damn it, mug.
I have a Would You Rather inspired by Moria mug, but even I don't want to touch pedophilia. I don't want to know where this is going.
Oh my God.
Coming soon. What?
He does want to touch pedophilia. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, coming soon at Frank Branches, we'll start a Kickstarter fun Marvel puzzle quest.
I don't need that, man. I've already given them enough fuel for a few years, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. In a couple days, we'll be lying in bed like, oh, man, I really need that. Click. Oh, there's $5.
You know what? I have refused to buy things from that store until they do things a little bit differently and better. Marvel Puzzle Quest. I could go on a whole diatribe about how much I'm frustrated with that game right now, but I'm not going to. What else, Break?
Slugger responds with, oh yeah, I love Kickstarter. At Freak5Cast says, rewards are feel good, or at Freak5Cast, or at Frank Branches, and at
Frank
Slugger.
Five Chaos.
Yeah.
The mashup nobody wanted.
That sounds like a Frankenstein monster.
Yeah.
Rewards are feel good knowing that Frank is able to buy the best characters in Kick-Ass for a change.
Yeah.
And he was exiled. Well, the Exile Brewery is in Des Moines. Maybe I will go there after work.
Yeah.
So you live in Iowa is what you're saying.
You guys suck, man. I hate you guys.
This will make you feel good. He sent us a picture of Yoda with his eyes closed looking a little pissed saying, much butt hurt I sense in you. Cry like a bitch you should, break man. yes. Moneymaker for Nintendo. Animal Crossing Wii U with amiibos. You can have move into your villagers. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Instead of having them show up randomly by the amiibo and make them move in, either have a larger city or an apartment. Oh, okay. I guess he's clarifying.
My villagers on a nightly basis.
Oh, LOL. Should have said have them move into your village. And instead of would you rather, marry, kill, or fuck? Jeb Bush, Rick Santorum, Donald Trump.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Really?
I don't want to marry any of those guys.
Okay, I'm marrying Donald Trump because he's, like, worth billions.
Yeah, I go with that.
I guess I'll fuck
Rick Santorum just so I could give him his namesake.
Wow.
And kill Jeb Bush.
Wow. No, I was going to say I was going to do the opposite just because Jeb Bush can speak Spanish or something. Maybe
maybe whisper sweet nothings into your ear.
The only
Spanish he'd be whispering is
a waste of life.
No. Like, break the only Spanish Jeb Bush would be whispering in that case would be ayúdame.
Exactly.
Which for the Spanish impaired that means help me.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on the Twitter?
No. That's it. All right.
What have you been playing? Real quickly, I've been playing Marvel Puzzle Quest. I have a couple of issues. It's way too hard to gain the hero points that you need to open up slots. The developers of that game need to make it slightly easier to do that, a little more enjoyable.
They want you to pay money.
Well, I understand
Sounds like it's kind of like shit, like Pokemon Shuffle is.
Yeah, it's getting way too ridiculous now. I've got all kinds of legendary and rare characters, but I can never power them up. It's just ridiculous. Wow, that was something else. Jesus Christ.
And the show has been halted.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
almost to the point where I might just stop playing because it's really hard. Like I finished in the top. I actually was in the top 10 in one of the events, and you know you get like a certain whatever you get, and it's just not enough for all the hard work that you put in that game. It really isn't. But anyways,
basically a good game ruined by microtransaction.
Yeah. It is. It really is. Eric, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a little bit more of Lord of Magna, Made in Heaven, and been getting through Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 3. Hmm. And
is there like vomit on the box cover? On the art?
No.
There should be. Huh. There should be.
But anyways, I wanted to play Lost Dimension, but I haven't yet been able to because I've been trying to get these three other ones. But that's all I've been doing. All
right. What about you, Break?
Nothing new. I've just been playing the same shit.
Same shit, different week. All right, Mon, yeah. You?
I've actually been playing a decent amount of stuff this week. I pre-ordered Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition. I played through that as Virgil, who was a hell of a lot of fun to play. They've added some neat little stuff to him over the Devil May Cry 3 edition of him.
I've never played a Devil May Cry game. Not one.
You should.
I played the original, and I thought it was kind of okay.
Devil May Cry 1 is good for its time. Devil May Cry 2 sucks. Devil May Cry 3 is one of the best action games ever made. I would say
only by Bayonetta.
No.
Bayonetta's good. That's another game that I've been playing, too.
I played a couple levels of Bayonetta. I was actually having fun with that game.
Bayonetta 2 is a lot better than Bayonetta, though.
I have it on the Xbox 360. It's just, it never really clicked with me. It's like, this is a good game. It's just,
It's an underrated game. I have it
There's
on the Wii.
There's some rough batches in that, the original, yeah. Though. It's made by
Hideki Kamiya. Devil May Cry 3, it's like you should pick, you know, and you can get it for cheap now. Pick up the HD collection of the Devil May Cry games. Play Devil May Cry 3. It's a prequel to the entire series, and you know, it's like there's no other stuff you need to see beforehand. It tells an entertaining story. It's a lot of fun. It's really challenging. Really challenging.
It doesn't really tell a story. Shit just happens, and you have to go process it all afterwards.
Yeah, it tells a story at least as well as the average summer tentpole movie.
Dungeon Buster says DMC series is excellent with a few bumps in the road, and he says Bayonetta is brilliant. I tend to agree. I'm having a ton of fun. I am playing the Wii U version.
I will say the original Bayonetta did suffer from a few level design choices, like instant death parts. Those weren't fun. Yeah. And the challenge level was probably artificially inflated due to the fact that some of the mechanics didn't work as well as they could have.
I'm playing Bayonetta on the Wii U, and I think
Bayonetta 2 is a lot better.
I haven't had a problem with Bayonetta 1 on the Wii U. I will say that it's pretty.
It doesn't look as good as the 360 version.
Is it a remastered edition?
No. I think it looks fine. I haven't had any issues with it at all. It looks great. I mean,
why would
really
a Wii
good.
U game be a remaster? They wouldn't be.
I'm saying like if they fix like. Some
well,
the
thing is, I mean, like, I do know that the Wii U
they added to it, and they gave Bayonetta a new outfit or two.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the Wii U is like it's fully HD compatible, so I was like, maybe the frame rate's up, or maybe the resolution.
The frame rate's fine. I haven't had any slow. I remember playing it, I believe, on the PS3. And
PS3 version of the original Bayonetta is pretty bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
And the Wii U version is slightly based on that version.
But it's better. It's just better.
Anyway, well, let me continue.
It's like in between the PS3 and the 360 version in terms of graphical quality.
Mm. Anyway, I've also played through The Novelist, which is a Steam game. It's more of a visual novel than a real game. Mm-hmm. It's like you have first person shooter type motion, movement, and it's a very 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 mild stealth mechanic. Where you play play a ghost haunting this summer home where a novelist and his wife and kid are staying, and essentially you can learn more about them, and by what you learn you can influence the decisions that the guy makes, like whether he devotes his time to the novel or like how he interacts with his wife and kid, and it's like everyone and all three of the people want something, and you can only fully satisfy one of them at any given turn. But if you investigate fully, you can do a compromise with one of them at each week. It takes place over like 12 weeks. It takes about 3 hours to play. And it's like, initially I started playing it. It's like, I'm going to do a playthrough as just the, basically I'm going to give the guy exactly what he wants and damn the consequences. And it was like, I got about a little over halfway through the game. I was like, I can't keep doing this. Yeah, it's like where the game actually genuinely made me feel bad for the choices I was making.
Yeah, I hate games like that. Because...
Well, no, the thing is, it doesn't feel artificial. It's like you're seeing the impact. It's like it shows you the impacts of your choices on the other two people in the house.
Hmm.
And it's like, and that's why it's like, this is not going to. If I keep doing this, this is not going to end well.
I think
that kind
watch.
Of thing. It's like he's focusing on his career to the exclusion of his family. That kind of thing. And it's like people are getting upset with him. And like this is not going to. It's like trying to find a happy medium where everybody gets the best possible outcome. And it's like, yeah, it was a pretty interesting little game. I would recommend. I would recommend checking it out. I think it retails on Steam for like $10. And I got $10 out of entertainment out of it. I mean, and I'll probably play it again to see about getting a different ending. But there's also I played some of Among the Sleep, which if you're not familiar with it, it's a first person horror game where you play as basically like a 2-year-old child.
Hmm.
It was funded on Kickstarter a couple years ago, I think, and it has this weird Pixar-ish sort of visual design. Where like one of the things is like you had this companion who's a teddy bear, and one of the way that you get light is that you can hug your teddy bear. And it's like essentially like hug it. It's like it's kind of getting into the head of a 2-year-old where like you hug your teddy bear. It's just your security blanket. It makes the dark not as scary, and the practical effect of that is that you can see better.
Hmm.
That's a really clever idea, and but the problem is I haven't had a chance to play with it all that much. Because
it reminds me of a game that I played before.
Have you played Among the Sleep yet?
That's what he's talking about.
Oh wait, yeah, I kind of zoned out there.
Yeah, apparently. But the problem is like the game is it's not like really demanding visually, but my gaming laptop I need to do some tweaking for
PS4 version should be coming out like whenever it's ready, I guess.
Yay, yeah, PS4.
Well, the thing is, like, I have like my laptop. It has problems where like the gaming the GPU will overheat, and so the frame rate will drop like crazy, where you're getting like 5 frames per second, and the machine will just kind of, you know, just stutter while it's doing
it.
So, well, it's not quite give up, but it's like it'll do that for a few minutes. It makes the game effectively unplayable. But I found that it's like apparently I can open things up, and you know, I need to buy some like Arctic Silver and stuff like that and do it. And apparently it makes a, you know, reviews, or rather not reviews, but some research I've done on it said that that kind
so
of
so it's good enough to play it. It's just not good enough to continuously play it.
Well, the thing is, the computer is like 6 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's like in this, and you know, thermal compound breaks down after a while. So basically I just need to open it up and replace that
with the Mac, like, and you're perfect.
No.
Anyway,
because I like playing games.
Fuck your fucking Macs, Frank.
I like playing games. I'm not going to get a fucking Mac.
There's some good games on the Mac. Dungeon Buster says
something. I might as well buy some fucking Beats headphones while I'm at it. While I'm
get
spending too
here.
Much fucking money on a goddamn brand.
Whatever. Dungeon Buster says the demo for Among the Sleep was neat. Some of the puzzles make him out to be the smartest toddler in the world, though. So, yeah.
Well, maybe he is the smartest toddler in the world.
Yeah. I wish I could play that. I'll wait till it comes out on the console.
I was gonna say, it's too bad you don't have a PC, huh?
I don't need a PC, man. I've left that piece of shit world a long time ago, man. Like I got so frustrated with Windows machines.
It's not a piece of shit. It's just Frank's technically uninclined.
No, I'm very technically inclined.
Eric, the word you're looking for is inept.
Eric. No, that's not true.
No, because he's not that inept.
Eric,
I mean, I'm here,
I'm here recording this show with all kinds of programs while you guys are talking, and you guys can't do it. So there's obviously something that I do that's right and that you guys do on your PCs. Yeah,
the thing is, Macs are made for, you know, basically one purpose, audio and video production.
No, that's not entirely true.
That is what they excel at, like multimedia.
They excel
at what they're not worth
that price.
They excel
at, they're really not.
They excel at making people not pull their hair out to try to get shit done. That's what they excel at.
Yeah, and if something goes wrong, you can just toss the whole thing and buy a whole new one.
That's not true. You never have problems with them, though. That's the thing.
It's like,
anyways.
Yeah, error -7. Your computer is trashed.
All right, that's enough for what we have been playing. Let's move on to our stinkos. Eric, did you have a stinko this week? I didn't see one listed.
Nah, I can't think of one.
All right. Break.
I've got two.
Okay.
If I had one, it'd be trumped by your guys.
First one is to my neighbors, older couple. They're unfortunately being evicted.
Oh, that sucks, man.
Yeah. I like these people. You know, I call them friends, so it's sad.
Well, if you can't pay your rent, man,
I know.
I kind of understand, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's sad, though.
It is very sad.
And my other one goes to I had Sweetos, but they were both taken.
Okay. What's your? Oh, that's your other stinko that we took your. We took your Sweeto. Yeah. All right.
Well, I was scrolling down. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna load the link. Oh shit, Eric's already got that. Well, I could use this one. Fuck, Mario's already got that one. Fuck, I got nothing.
All right, Mug.
I've got a few stinkos. One, if you're not keeping up with the news, ISIS released this, you know, ISIS showed their technical proficiency in releasing a you know, startlingly HD quality video showing creative ways of execution, like explosive collars, a la, what was it? It wasn't Total Recall or The Running Man.
Yeah.
Like, people don't understand, ISIS is getting more and more dangerous.
Yes, they are. It's like, so where you basically lined up these five guys on their knees with these explosive collars and detonated them all at once, blew these guys' heads off.
Put
these guys in a cage and submerged, like, with these, you know, with basically like GoPros underwater and submerged it to show these men dying.
Yeah,
what people don't understand is ISIS is unlike any terrorist organization we've ever faced. And the big difference between ISIS and every other terrorist organization, ISIS has their own money.
Yeah.
ISIS is making a fortune off of oil fields.
Yeah, and
other terrorist organizations in history have been funded by governments or other or wealthy people or individuals, but no other terrorist organization has been making millions of dollars by the hour selling its own oil.
ISIS is independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're getting wealthier. And as you get wealthier, you're getting, you know, more technology.
This is the
more
reason,
weapons and stuff. They're becoming a bigger threat by the day.
This is the reason why non-fuel based transportation is more and more important. But
yeah, not the only reason.
No. I'm not
and
saying
if you don't think if you don't think ISIS is becoming a big threat, just turn on the news and you'll see every other day that there was another American that's going off to join ISIS.
Yeah, I mean, like,
they've got a huge web presence.
Yeah, all over the world. They are tech savvy.
Yes.
They are smart, and they are fucking dangerous.
Yes.
And it's like my general thoughts on it is like, you know, I don't think America needs another war, but I don't know what the answer is to deal with these people.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe education, but even that's a
You can't educate somebody who's radicalized to a religion.
No, I mean
they are of the belief that they're doing everything for Allah.
Well, join the Muslim club, man. That's what Muslims believe. I mean, religion is whack, man, and this is one of the many reasons why it's whack. But continue on, Mug.
They have been able to justify every action they performed.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sick.
Go ahead, Mug.
Yeah. In other Islamic news, there's a Nigerian Islamic court which sentenced 10 people to death for blasphemy.
Yeah.
And I felt the need to when I shared the news about ISIS and their videos saying basically talking about the religion of peace, my stepdaughter said, don't confuse the average believer with the extremists. And I had to explain to her that the thing is, Islam promotes extremism. It's like the nature of the Quran is that the further along in the Quran you go, like the later verses trump earlier verses. That's the way that it works. And most of the really nasty warlike shit is toward the back.
Yeah, and I got news for you. Christianity is the same way. The Bible's the same. I mean, if you compare
there's a major difference there though. Islam is still basically it's in the Crusades era of its lifespan. It has not undergone a major. Major reform.
You're right about that, but it's just as dangerous, man. I mean, the Christianity could slip back into that easily.
In the marketplace of ideas, I agree with you. But from a practical and political perspective, Islam is a more salient threat.
I don't know about that, man. Think about it, Mug. With Christianity, you have the extremist here, which I call the evangelicals, which control a good portion of
you have the dominionist types and everything, but they are they are losing ground, I think.
Yeah.
Like I think the marriage equality decision was a big sign of that.
Yeah.
But I do think that things like ISIS and what I had to point out to my stepdaughter was that this whole thing with Nigeria was like this, this was not just a set of radicalized extremists. This was a governing body of a sovereign nation.
Yeah. And they are
like the atheist bloggers getting hacked to death in what is it, Saudi Arabia, or like Raif Badawi, I think his name is. Who's been sentenced to 1,000 lashes for insulting Islam. I mean, these are not, these are things that, these are human rights violations that no one is willing to say anything about.
Well, look who they have in their path, dude, ISIS. I mean, it they're scary enough. Even the name evokes. I've listened to people talk about ISIS, like the natives there, man, and they're afraid. I mean,
ISIS is so bad that some of the other bad terrorist groups have united with them.
Yeah, because they have no choice.
Al-Qaeda is a blip on the radar compared.
Yeah, ISIS. I'm trying to think. What is that one? Boko Haram.
Yeah,
Boko Haram.
Haram. Yeah, they they're a particularly nasty group, and they've aligned with ISIS now
because they have no choice. ISIS is a juggernaut, man.
Exactly.
It's a major problem.
Yeah.
And the longer it goes on, the worse
it's getting is the problem. Yeah.
What else?
Like you said, the last thing I want is for more Americans to die in war. But at the same time,
I don't want
if
anybody
we don't do
to
something,
die.
Is this how bad is this going to get?
Yeah. Well,
and the problem is, and the thing is, this. You know, and the sad thing is, this was avoidable.
Yeah. I know.
People like you know, people talk about how you know Christopher Hitchens. You know, people had this thing like there's this cult of personality. You worship Hitchens and Dawkins. Like, no. Dawkins is wrong on a lot of shit. Hitchens was incredibly wrong about the Iraq War. I understood his motivations. You know, he had been in Iraq. He had seen what Saddam Hussein was doing to his people. I understood what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, time had proven him wrong.
Yeah, he was
taking forcibly removing Saddam from power was a bad idea.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a great idea going in.
He was the only thing keeping that nation afloat.
Yeah,
and the thing is, like, he created removing him created this massive power vacuum, and ISIS is the result.
Yep, there you go. Congratulations.
And after that, like, I felt like we broke it, we bought it, and we should have never left Iraq.
Yeah,
Iraq.
I agree. I don't think we should have ever been in there.
We should have never been there,
but yeah. Once we were there, we should have never pulled out.
I mean, Iraq was a quagmire, and, you know, we were, you know, it's like, it sucks that there was, like, basically there was no exit strategy. The thing is that when we went in, there was no exit strategy, mm-hmm. and I think that if there had been, we might not be in this. You know, fuck storm that we're in.
I don't know about that, man. The minute we stepped foot in there, it was just bad news, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm not arguing
that at all. I'm just saying that maybe if we'd taken, you know, into account what it would take to get out of it, to get out of there without causing more problems, you know, like leaving more problems behind than there were when we went in.
Well, we never do that, dude. If there's money involved, we'll be there, and that's all there is to it. You know,
and that's,
we won't get involved with ISIS until it affects us economically, and then we'll be right there, which is sad because it's a losing battle again. Anything else, Mug? We got to kind of.
I just had one last stinko, and it's, you know, comparatively very minor. This is just personal discomfort. It's blisteringly fucking hot in South Carolina, and I live in a goddamn mobile home, and it averages 82 to 85 degrees in the afternoons.
That sucks,
a tornado will take you someplace nicer.
I know maybe I'll wind up in fucking Oz.
Well, earlier we were talking a little bit about evangelicals, so why not talk about Sean Hannity, guys? I watched this on Young Turks, which
I watched. Now, what I want to know is Sean Hannity like Bill O'Reilly, where he's just an acting on camera, or does he actually think this shit?
I don't know.
Sean Hannity is genuine.
I think he's genuine, too. I've seen him talk. I think he's genuine. But you guys check this out.
Has anybody ever called him on his bullshit? Because when Bill O'Reilly gets called on his bullshit, like, he freezes up because he doesn't know what to say.
Have you ever seen the interview with
Hitchens?
Hitchens said, and I quote, "You strike me as someone who's never read any of the arguments against your position." Ever.
Right. Right.
Which I thought was fucking hilarious.
You know what? I love that interview because basically they asked Hitchens to go on their show, and he's sitting there telling them that, look.
Yeah, you invited me here.
You invited me to your show, you know, like, so.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, dude, if you have not looked
at it. Yeah, you got to watch that. That's an all-time great.
Yeah, Google Hitchens and Fox.
Yeah.
You got to be careful when you get caught, like. Celebrities and stuff have to be careful about being called onto a show because a lot of times they get called on just to get attacked.
Yeah. But did you ever see the Hitchens appearance when Jerry Falwell died?
Yes, I love that one.
Like Hitchens saved up his parting shot for when the interview was ending, and right before they cut, it said, if Falwell had been given an enema, he could have been buried in a matchbox.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the greatest lines ever uttered.
I like when he called Jerry Falwell a carcass, because that was awesome, man. You got to check that out, Break. It's Hitchens versus Hannity. Just look that up, dude.
That was the thing about Hitchens that where people, like, you know, people talk about a cult of personality. I was like, no,
oh, man.
Hitch was just – he was devastatingly intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more eloquent drunk than, you know, the next 10 people sober.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he not only that, he was funny.
Yeah, he was an all time great. I wish Hitchens was still around, man. He was he was awesome. Check it out though, Break. And the audience, if you haven't seen Hitchens' videos, that I agree with Mug though. Don't listen to anything about the Iraq War, but everything else he's spot on. Yeah. Religion,
and the women aren't funny thing was a little dubious.
Okay, so that takes care of that. But Sean Hannity,
I almost thought when he said that he was just talking about he hasn't yet defined women comedians that are funny to him. That's all.
Yeah. I think he might have changed his tune with Amy Schumer. Yeah. She's fucking hilarious.
I think she's funny too. Sean Hannity calls for a ban on rap music, guys. Now this is in response.
Obviously, if he calls for it, we need to get this done right now.
Bring me my fucking Jambox.
This is how
I'm gonna go throw out my CD collection. Because this is how it came.
I know, it's just exactly. Gotta go. I got to get rid of my NWA and Dre and Cube.
I'm sorry, Tech Nine. I know I love you, man. I'm a big supporter. You're underground and everything, but I got to throw all my CDs away. Sean Hannity said so.
Yep. You know what's funny is Sean Hannity started out with talking about the Confederate flag in South Carolina. Like, he was crying about how Walmart and everywhere else is refusing to sell the flag, and then he jumps into rap music. We should just ban all rap music. So I'm like, dude, you have no
fucking
clue.
How do those things connect? Like,
absolutely correct.
I don't see the A to Z in that one, you know?
Here's the connection. I'll tell you the connection, Break. I know the connection. All right? The majority of Hannity's audience is older white men, right? And women. That's the connect. Conservative older white men and women. That's his audience. So he's pandering to his audience. And what better way to pander to his audience than call for a ban on something his audience despises?
Rap music. Of course. But the thing is,
right? But how did he go from the flag to the suddenly rap music?
That's how he does it, right there.
Because he's pandering. I mean, yeah, it's like there's no logic to it. The thing is, you know, Hannity is hated by everybody except his audience.
Yeah. That must have been an awkward segue.
Nobody takes him seriously. But the funny thing is about Fox's audience, they're all dying.
Yep.
I mean, in a very literal sense, they're all senior citizens. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the average age of a Fox News viewer is something like 65.
Yeah. Yeah.
My parents Dungeon Buster into Fox. That's the only news network that they listen to.
Dungeon Buster says, ban rap music? Is it the 90s again? If so, I need to go out and pick up a copy of Sewer Shark.
What was the other? There was another full motion video game on the Sega CD. It was like, with that, like basically a ripoff of Top Gun. And it was a Tomcat Alley.
Yeah, I think you're right, man.
I don't know if I have either.
Remember
of
when people
too.
Thought full motion video was the wave of the future?
Yeah.
Remember? Actually, do you remember the original Warhawk?
Did anybody play Fox Hunt?
Break. I remember
horrible full motion video cinemas.
Yeah, Break. I remember O'Reilly Attack and Two Live Crew too. That Two Live Crew is one of the most
important.
Two Live
Crew and fucking NWA. They were and are amazing.
Yes.
There's that movie coming out that's about NWA.
Yep, I can't wait to see that. I
saw the previews for it. I was like, that looks really fucking.
Does look good.
I can't wait to see that movie. It's called Straight
Outta
Compton.
Are you talking about Straight Outta Compton?
Yep, straight
yes,
out of Compton.
That's the name of it. I couldn't remember the name of
it. It's like them and lots of other people.
Oh, man, I can't wait till that movie comes out.
Yeah, I mean, like, apparently it has, like, their kids and the producers and stuff, people, like, directly involved with those who, directly involved with NWA who are consulting on it and making sure everything is as accurate as possible.
I can't wait for that movie, man. I think NWA and Two Live Crew and bands like that are some of the most important people ever in music.
Oh yeah. The thing is they captured the cultural zeitgeist of that time.
Yeah, and it's weird. I was watching Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie because it kind of plays on some of the cultural things going on in movies like Boys in the Hood and stuff like that.
I remember CB4, which I really liked.
Oh, I love CB4, man. I love that movie.
Shut up. It ain't your big ass business.
Yeah. I love it when, what's his name? Phil Hartman, he's like forced to say the name of the song. He's like, you will not play Sweat from My Balls. He's all mad about it. I love that movie. It's awesome. Dungeon Buster says, who could forget Christopher Walken in The Ripper? Yeah,
I joked about how Hannity just needs a 666 Turtle Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a YouTube video of the Turtles Christmas special that was live action. Yeah. That and they basically just played – it was just a clip from it. I don't think it was the entire thing. But they basically played the song Suck My Nut.
Yeah. Also, my stinker –
I don't even know if it's the name of the song. Only – pretty much the only lyric.
Yeah, you were talking about Heat Wave, Mug. I think this has a lot to do with the shark attacks going on in North Carolina.
It's hardly possible.
Yeah, I think that the warmer weather is causing these shark attacks. That's another one.
Yeah, I saw an article today. I linked it in a couple places. I didn't click on it, but where they were talking about how some corals have already started like adapting, to the warmer temperatures of the waters.
Yeah.
Like dramatic changes in the way that they look and behave.
Yep.
I was like, that's interesting.
We're gonna move on to the Sweetos real quickly. Let's just go through them real quickly. I know. We've got some big-time Sweetos here, but we need to get through them because I want to get to the free-for-all. But real quickly, it's my birthday. It's my birthday. That's my Sweeto. I just wanted to say that.
Happy birthday to Frank.
And Frank is officially sing? Hang on. Frank is officially 3,546 years old today.
I just hung up on Mug. There's
Happy birthday to Frank.
Everybody's being so nice, and Mug has to go with the old age. Get out of here, son of a bitch.
Frank, he's our man. If he can't do it, well, you're fired.
Great!
you're exiled, son of a bitch. Straight out of RP Grinders. There you go, Dungeon Buster. I love that, man. All right, that's my Sweeto. Break, let's go with yours, man.
I did come up with one since you mentioned the removal of the Confederate flag.
Yes.
I call that a Sweeto.
Yeah, that's a definite Sweeto, man.
At least something good came out of that.
Only took about 100 years too late, but yeah. Whatever. All right. Moria.
I don't know. Hang on. On that same topic. I don't know if you guys can verify this. I heard something about where apparently the families and other like the congregants of that church actually like came together and publicly forgave Dylann Roof for what he did.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was like, highly classy.
That's you want to talk about living the example.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the example right there.
That's why I don't bash religion like you guys do, because I've met a lot of good people.
I like the concept of people. Forgiveness and grace, that's not really an exclusively religious thing, though.
No, it's not.
The way that I look at it, religious.
I think the majority of people get into religion for that reason.
Well, the thing is, here's the thing.
They get into it, but what they do with it is,
Hang on a second, Break. I was going to say that the thing is, religious people can be wonderful people, and often are. But the thing is, and what no one seems to realize, especially the religious, is that they are great people. In spite of their faith,
yeah,
because of it,
right? Not because of it. You're absolutely correct, man. But I think that's the majority of people in general, man. I mean, religious, non-religious, doesn't matter, man. People in general are good. I firmly believe that, man. Like, people want to do the right thing almost at all times. I mean, there's exceptions to the rule.
And then there's the people that whose brains haven't evolved yet, so they're still pretty much animals.
Yeah.
Dungeon Buster says Apple took it a bit too far, going back to the Confederate flag thing, by removing everything with a Confederate flag in the App Store, including war games.
Yeah, I think he has a point there, because if you're doing like Civil War type games, that's I agree with that.
I will say, I know there's a local guy who he's a flag store. His store makes and sells flags. Like he has Confederate flags, but he doesn't like sell them usually. But he's not going to take them out of his.
I know. I've seen a couple places in Ohio with Confederate flags.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
just saying, like, is his business is all about making flags. Like, people might need like a Confederate flag for a reenactment of something.
Yeah, people
do like Civil War reenactments, and kids need them for like school presentations and stuff like that.
I think if you're letting your kid do a school presentation on that type of stuff and it includes a Confederate flag, I think you have to be careful.
Well, you're right. But I'm saying,
I had an exchange with my stepper. She's 14 years old, 14 years old. She's very politically active. She's very liberal. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, her first reaction to it, she's an incredibly smart kid. And I'm not just saying that because she's my stepdaughter. She's actually pretty damn smart.
Sorry.
Yeah. But no, she said, like, you know, her response is that she's not all that thrilled about there being a game about the Civil War. I'm like, and basically because of everything that it represented. It's like, I understand that, but you also have to bear in mind that war simulation is a mainstay of games, period.
Yeah.
I mean, chess is a war simulation. You have things like
and Risk. It happened. The worst thing you can do is bury it.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I agree with that.
But it's like, you know, you have games like Risk and Axis and Allies, which were, you know, largely about like the, you know, like, well, Axis and Allies at least was about World War II, which, you know, I don't really need to explain what, you know, that largely had to do with. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, like, if games are art, then you have to allow for the existence of games that cover topics you find distasteful.
Yeah, I agree. Like Leisure Suit Larry, a lot of people might find that game distasteful. Some people would find it funny and
I mean, it's mostly just silly. I mean, right. It's like in a modern day, it looks, you know, like extremely tame.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you have to allow for that freedom. That's what our amendments are for, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was revolutionary at the time. But I mean, it broke down a lot of barriers.
But I think, like, bringing down the Confederate flag politically is absolutely the right thing to do and should have been done a long time ago. You know, oddly enough, it was about 8 years ago, Steve Spurrier called for the removal of the Confederate flag. I mean, this is a sports guy that you would think
USC
was...
USC coach for a long time.
Yeah, and he was with Florida for a number of years, so he's definitely a Southerner.
Mr. Fun and Gun.
Yeah, fun and gun. But I just think it's way overdue, and I'm glad that happened.
I mean, yeah, it's like if there's one good thing that's coming out of that you know, that asshole's actions, this is it.
Yeah. All right, Moria, real quickly, I know this is the huge elephant in the room that we've been alluding to all episode, but let's get to it, dude.
Well, the big thing is marriage equality was ruled in by the Supreme Court of the United States. Gay marriage, or as we can now call it, marriage, is now legal in all 50 states. We have now joined our neighbor to the north and our neighbor to the south.
Yep.
In the 21st fucking century.
I mean, how sad is that? That Mexico had this before us, man.
Only by a couple months, or like maybe a couple weeks.
Yeah, but so what?
Are we allowed to say that too, Frank? Or is that racist?
What's that? Our friends to the south? Like that's
perfectly
okay with that.
No, you know, I'm just kidding.
I honestly think
you guys know fun. I'm moving on.
This is a big deal. Like, again, I keep bringing her up, but my stepdaughter is she's what she refers to as genderqueer. Mm-hmm. You know, doesn't really have a specific gender identity. She finds women and
gender fluid, right?
I think so. It's like I don't know all the specifics of the. I mean, and I'm bisexual.
You need to get her to write it all down and explain it to you.
I know.
Get on the show and explain it to all of us.
I know. Actually, it'll be interesting to have her guest. But the thing is, you know, but like I said, she's very liberal. She's very politically active. I mean, she's very socially minded, and you know, and it's nice to know that my stepdaughter, if she, you know, no matter who she decides, or even if she never does, but if she does. Then that option will be open to her. Like, you know, I saw someone on Facebook arguing that, you know, basically the only secular argument against gay marriage is an argument against marriage as an institution.
Yeah. See, I read about that too, and I think that's also should be on the table too.
I think marriage should be harder for everybody because way too many people jump into marriage unprepared and end up divorced.
But, you know, basically, it's the guy was saying.
But
that,
you know, I'm talking about straight people because that's the way it's been. You know.
Yeah. I mean, no, there's no. You'll get no argument from me on that. But I was what I told this guy was saying that, you know, the government shouldn't be involved in it. You know, and I was like, that may be the case, but that's not the point. The point is that marriage, as it stood and prior to today, was the only civil contract that had a gender stipulation on it.
Mm-hmm.
And given that the fact that marriage as a contract
as you know, is an institution of this country. It should be available to everyone, regardless of the gender of the participants.
Right. What was the vote? What did the vote like? What was it?
It was 5-4.
5-4. That close, but wow. Yeah.
And I realized the concept.
And, oh my God, Scalia's dissent. Look up Scalia's dissent. I mean, that's.
I read some of that.
Holy crap! He has.
Is there any coherent? Is there a coherent, sane thought in there?
No, I mean, it's like, I mean, basically, ask the hippies. You know, I wish that weren't a quote from it, but it's like the guy has lost his fucking marbles.
I
would say, from a Christian perspective, their idea of marriage is very different, and they can't disassociate the legal definition of marriage from their religious version.
Right, and that's bullshit. It's
their personal interpretation of it, because they keep talking about what the Bible says. The Bible never, ever, ever says anything about marriage being between a man and a woman, like one man and one woman.
Yeah.
There are plenty of other versions of marriage, but like, you know, marriage between a woman and her rapist, or one man and a whole mess of other women. And,
Don't forget the Mormon polygamy.
That's might sound like a good idea, but
marrying a bunch of women instead of a bunch of women marrying each other and that man.
I know. Like, at first it sounds like, wow, all this variety of women. But then they're like, man, like, one woman's a pain in the ass as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know if I could deal with a whole bunch of them. They team up on me and shit.
That's not an issue if you own them.
Oh, man. Fuck that.
Well, I mean, that's an option?
In the Bible, it
In the Bible.
Where do I go? Can I buy them?
In the Old Testament? I mean, hell,
are they on sale?
Women
like,
chattel.
Is there an annual sale?
Hey,
biannual
guys,
sale?
Bisexual sale? This is a huge thing. We should talk more about this next week for sure, because this is a big, big court decision. The only other decision that would make me probably happier is the whole legal marijuana thing.
I will add to that. I actually do have a sweeter that's something more you forgot to mention in his, but apparently transgender federal workers are getting proper health care now.
Good.
Oh, nice.
It starts in 2016.
Hey, that's a step forward. But I did want to mention one other thing, sweeto, is that California eliminated the religious exemptions for vaccination of children.
Yay! Finally! Yes.
I'm like, let's hope that spreads to other states, because that shit
all of them.
That religious exemptions in general need to go the fuck
away. I agree, and tax exemptions need to go away too, which is fucking bullshit.
Now, I heard the argument that the reason that they can't – I don't believe this, but the reason that they can't is because if they did it now – That'd be taking preference for one denomination, or rather, in this case, not having a denomination and taking a preference for that.
That's total horseshit. That's total horseshit.
As taking an action against a religion would be insightful of that, but that's a bunch of
total
bullshit.
Horseshit.
That is bullshit.
That's a smokescreen, man. That's what they want you to believe.
Like, I don't know. Have you guys heard of the United Church of Bacon?
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
it
sounds delicious.
It is a you know, praise the Lord. Yes, that is one of their things. But it is an atheist church, you know, legally recognized. One of the things about it is that they are a church. They do not they still pay taxes.
Yeah,
their
that's
books
bullshit.
Are open. They don't No. They voluntarily pay taxes. They do not take advantage. They voluntarily. Yeah, they do not they voluntarily do not take advantage of the tax exempt status offered to religion.
They should.
They don't keep a bank. You know, they don't keep a corporate bank account, which is basically what, you know, other churches do.
I think they're trying to be a good example to
like
actual religious
institutions.
But do they still open on Sunday mornings?
Hold on.
Hang on. But if you want to donate to them, they have basically like, if you want to donate, here's our list of preferred charities. Donate to them.
Yeah. That's the way to do
and tell,
it.
Yeah, and you donate to these charities and tell us, and we will, you know, we will note it.
We will note like it that. in our lard prayers. That's
yes.
What
yep.
All right, yes. Eric, let's move on to your sweeto so we can.
Dear
move
Lord,
on.
dear Lord, I am constipated. You know.
Dear Lord, I've had the runs for days now. Anyways.
Dear right, Lord, I'm strut in grease.
Yeah. No, dear Lord, not Lord,
lard, right,
lard. Yeah. Anyways, right. This one's from thinkprogress.org, and I saw I Fucking Love Science 2 videos or an article on the same thing, but they said that they invented this method, but they didn't really invent anything. Basically, high school students come up with a brilliant way to detect sexually transmitted infections.
The condom, that's bullshit. It's not a real story.
It's not a real story?
Nope. I wish it were, but it's not.
So what I heard, though, is basically what they did. They only proposed the idea. They don't have a patent, so they don't have a working prototype yet either. So it would have been a good idea, but it's apparently not true.
Yeah. I mean, like, they basically have a concept with no math to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but there's –
but hey, at least now they can plant the idea in the heads of people that are probably more capable.
Yeah, I just like the colors. They read off the colors. That's the best part of it.
So, yeah, so I guess this isn't my Sweeto. This is – fuck. I'll move it.
You know what I mean? Like, it changes to different colors depending on the STD.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. If you're with, like, your ladies
– chlamydia, you know.
So, for anybody who's with a guy, he puts it on, and all of a sudden, like, it changes color. Like, nope, done with you.
That would be cool, man, for sure.
Or, like, you know, if you're fucking somebody, put it on, fuck, like, put it in real quick and then take it out, see if it changes color.
Dungeon Buster says,
oh, and it was supposed to glow in the dark. So, if, you know, if they're like, what, if there's somebody who wants the lights out and shit, like, no fooling me, bitch.
Yeah, right.
This shit's glowing. I'm done.
Dungeon Buster says,
it's my Sweeto because I like the idea.
Yeah, no,
maybe they can license CeeLo's Fuck You to, to do a theme song.
Dungeon Buster says, dear lard, when I work out, I smell like french fries. Yeah, he's going along with the whole prayers to Lord Large Bacon or whatever the god is of that Church of Bacon.
Yeah, and I told him it sounds like a personal problem.
All right. No, that's definitely a good idea for sure. Okay. Real quickly, Eric, so we can get to our
free-for-all. They don't pass an offering plate to Dungeon Buster. They pass him some ketchup.
Yeah. Real quickly, your review so we can get to our finally get to our free-for-all about person's beliefs affecting game scripts. So, Eric, Inside Out.
Inside Out is Pixar's latest film, and it's their latest original film. Good lord, I mean, fucking Monsters College, and let's see, what else was that? There was Cars 2 is too old, so I guess I can mention that that Planes sequel.
Planes wasn't Pixar.
Planes wasn't Pixar?
Nope, what about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
That's not Disney. Definitely not Pixar. Oh, okay. Man. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Where's your hand? Between two pillows. Yeah. Those aren't pillows!
Oh, well. I thought it was because it looked very similar. And the fact that it wasn't at DreamWorks?
No,
I mean, it was Disney, but it was not Pixar.
Oh, well, it might as well have been, right? But,
none of the creative staff behind it, so no. Not really.
Okay. So, but, yeah, but that whole Monsters College thing is like, ugh, gross. And I hear there's going to be a new Toy Story. But
really?
But at least we get two original movies from Pixar this year. The next one's coming out in November, and it's called The Good Dinosaur.
Okay, well, how about Inside Out? I've been curious about it.
Inside Out is basically a story of...
What if feelings had feelings?
Yeah, basically, yeah. People live inside your head, and they make the things that you feel.
So, was it any good?
Yes, it was pretty good. It was cute, and basically, the way it's set up, it's about the head had basically is like the headquarters of the people that are trying to run your emotions, and it takes place in this particular character. She's an 11-year-old girl named Riley. Yeah, basically it starts at the beginning, though, where she's born, and then they get used to their new station, and then they, like, have time lapses over the years and get to learn various aspects about Riley and co-workers. The one thing I wouldn't like about this movie, which they'll probably do in a sequel, is that they only have, like, based emotions there. So there's joy, and then there's fear, sadness, and anger.
Anger and anxiety was one of them, wasn't it? Or something like that.
No, disgust.
Disgust, okay. Yeah, and that's like I say, I remember I saw like the second trailer where it basically showed like it showed them at the dinner table where mm-hmm. the dad was like, so how was school and everything, and it's basically they had this thing, sir, we're detecting high levels of sass.
Yeah, basically what happens is that for whatever reason their ability to control or guide her emotions I guess send the right signals to the brain to act appropriately according to their own emotions, which apparently happens when that particular emotion touches a button on the console that they have. But apparently it starts malfunctioning and things start falling apart and joy and sadness get sucked out of the head and they're somewhere in the subconscious.
Okay.
And it's basically about them journeying and getting back and trying to get back before Riley does something terrible because she's not capable of feeling certain things now.
Okay, well, that's actually more interesting than the trailer.
It's kind of a interesting way of displaying depression to younger children.
That actually sounds more interesting than the trailer made it look, because I mean the trailer kind of engaged me just because, you know, I'm a stepfather. I deal with a teenager who has that sass problem.
Because the other emotions try to make up for the slack that.
Yeah.
Their emotions. Okay. They can't do it as well because there are not those emotions.
Here's my important question. Is this the kind of movie that I need to see on the big screen, or am I okay waiting until this comes out in video where I can rent it for like a buck and a half?
You can wait.
Okay, cool.
Because it doesn't really benefit from the
big screen. As much as I want to see it, I'm cheap and I'd like to, you know, save money and I can see it.
I mean, it's probably not a movie I'll see in the theater, but I mean, it's. What you've told me about it makes it more appealing. I mean, I was already interested, but what you've told me makes me more interested. It sounds deeper than it looked, rather than it appeared to just from the trailers.
It doesn't look like a candy movie like Wreck-It Ralph was. Man, that movie was so candy.
Oh, yeah, but it was just a ton of fun.
It was
what
a
do you mean by
movie,
candy?
Just kind of fluff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's not a whole lot of depth to Wreck-It Ralph.
No,
right? Wreck-It Ralph is a great movie, but the thing is, it's like, it's a great movie.
I would have liked it even more if it had even more video game references. But
well, the thing is, like, Wreck-It Ralph was a great movie in a very different way from, like, you know, the Lego movie was a great movie. The Lego movie had a lot more heart than Wreck-It Ralph did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Wreck-It Ralph's story kind of, you know, checked, you know, basically kind of went down a checklist of, you know, stuff that like we should have in a video game oriented movie.
And on the other hand, we have Pixels.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, for sure.
So fucking bad. I like the
Pac-Man's a bad guy.
Like if no. When I saw this stuff, I was like, if there was ever a movie that screamed out to be pirated, this was it.
Yeah, I saw the scene with the Pac-Man biting the creator of Pac-Man's hand.
It's mildly clever.
He's trying to plead with Pac-Man, but it's not it's like, Pac-Man. Your creation was imaginary from the very beginning. Why would it care?
Well, basically, it's kind of like I enjoyed like Kung Fury. I just thought it was like a good joke that went on too long.
Yeah, I agree.
This to me feels like that cubed.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, you have a good joke. Apparently, this was based on like an SNL sketch or something like that. But I mean, it was apparently based on like an SNL sketch or something very similar to that. And it's like, okay, this is the same problem that a lot of SNL-based movies had, where you have something that can easily support a 5 to 10 minute sketch,
but
that cannot support a 90 to 100 minute movie.
It depends on the actors. Like, you wouldn't think that a movie like Night at the Roxbury could do.
I hated that movie.
Look, it depends on the actors. Like, Catan is, you know, whatever, but Will Ferrell, man, he is good.
But the problem is, like, I saw that, and I'm not trying to get your goat or anything like that.
What about Wayne's World?
I love that movie.
I thought that movie actually worked really well. But like A Night at the Roxbury, I saw that movie. A friend of mine paid my way, and I still felt like, oh, God, why did I waste my time with that at the end?
I liked it. It's just stupid fun. This is one of those movies I tell you all the time, Mug, where –
anyways, I'm going to give this movie a 9.
Good.
What would you put it – like in terms of like other Pixar movies, what would you compare in terms of like how good it was?
Well, having not seen Up, that leaves me with comparing it to leaning it up against Wall-E and Toy Story.
I hated Wall-E.
I loved Wall-E.
Hated that movie.
But no, I mean, for me, that's pretty damn high praise. The original Toy Story?
The original – well, Toy Story 3 was really good too.
Oh, yeah. Toy Story 2
Toy Story 2 sucked.
Yeah,
the original Toy Story is still –
it was a rehash of the original, but it was slightly different.
Toy Story 2.
Yeah, I like Toy Story 1 and 3. I'm not so high on 2, but yeah.
Yeah. I lit a rocket.
Yeah.
Rockets explode.
I will be watching Mad Max Fury Road this weekend.
Oh, good, man. That's a great movie. I love that movie.
Is it coming out like this next week or something?
No, I have my ways.
Oh, okay. I know what that means.
Yeah, he's going to go see the Mexicans and get a pirated copy for $5.
See the Mexicans.
That's what he's going to do.
See, we can't say that.
You make him sound like they're part of a cartel or something. Illegal movie cartel.
I hated WALL-E, man. I hated that movie
so much. Out of curiosity.
It's a good movie. What's wrong with you?
God, I hated WALL-E.
Liked it as a silent
movie. Well, you know what? It's your birthday. I won't argue with you.
I'm curious. What was it you didn't like about it?
I didn't like the premise, man. Like the whole thing, like everybody's fat and let's get in shape. And
have you seen America lately?
That's the part I liked about the movie.
Fat and lazy.
Well,
one of the things that, like, if you as a logical extension of our consumer rich culture, I mean, it made sense. And one of the thing when scientifically it made sense in the sense that our bone density would drop, and we, you know, basically we would just kind of become blobs. I mean, in zero gravity, yeah, that's basically what happens.
I hated the whole.
You see how people were like floating on those little chairs, and they were paying no attention to others. Have you walked around lately? So many people are staring at their phones. I mean, I do it all the time if I don't want to talk to people. Just look at my phone.
Yeah. Have you seen that thing like where they showed like what happens to people in space, like their faces? They get Charlie Brown face. Literally,
everybody start talking like.
Speaking of Charlie Brown, I don't know if I want to see that Peanuts movie.
I do.
I'm curious, but I'm like very cautiously skeptical about it. But no, what I was going to say though is like people in space for extended periods of time in microgravity, they get round, their heads round out.
Ugh, weird.
Yeah,
and they start talking like
there are very dramatic physical changes that take place in relatively short periods of microgravity.
Yeah, well, let's move on. I want to talk about this free for all subject this week, so we can finally get it done and over with.
I know, it's monkey off the back.
Yeah,
3 months,
Eric. We have been trying to do this topic for a very long time. Can you take us into it real quickly?
Basically, this is a post I saw on Twitter. It was linked through Twitter, and basically they were talking about how Brigandine Grand Edition got a full translation pass because, as you may or may not know, the original Brigandine was released in the U.S. like so many years ago, and it's become a very rare and expensive item to get online.
Yeah, it's like a late or a PlayStation.
But there was
I have that game.
Can I talk, please?
Sorry.
But there was a special edition of the game released in Japan sometime later, and it's actually a much better game because of that.
Okay, so what?
But it never did come to the U.S. But so that's why there's a translation patch. But apparently, the fan translator decided to edit the game's script in such a way that like he changed the names of some of the monsters. Basically removing for example, there's a creature that was called Vampire Lord and they changed it to Lich, whatever. And Sorceress the Vixen because he wanted to dance around the fact that there was magic and everything because he's a super Christian, I guess.
So the question is, what's the question, Eric? It's like,
I posted it here. It says, like, hold on a second. When a person's beliefs drive them to affect game scripts and such.
Yeah. Now, this is
it's like, if you have a job to do, despite how you might feel about something, it's not your business to change things to your view because you are, after all, providing something to someone else to enjoy.
This sort of ties
into – Was this done by the localizers or –
No, this isn't a localization. This is a fan translation.
Fan translation.
Oh, okay.
So the whole thing is, I mean,
if you're doing a fan translation, you'd think somebody would want to do the job professionally.
I don't think very many people care like if we don't know what the original meaning was, like for instance, I could have played this game not knowing anything about it, and I wouldn't have had a problem with it, Eric. But if you are like, for instance, like in Mug's case, he speaks a different language, he knows a lot, he's done translation. It may be offensive to him, but I don't think these people really think these things through. But I agree, like,
and the thing is, like back in the day, we had been subject to translation edit jobs like this. And
well, if you look at the original Persona on PlayStation, I mean, that wasn't just translated; it was localized. They made it. They set it in America.
They made a Japanese character American, and they changed his name to Marcus, and they made him black.
Yeah, I mean, hunt down and play. Yeah,
this
the original
is back
Persona
when Atlas didn't give a shit about translation.
Yeah, was it Atlas at the time? I thought it was done in house. Oh, okay, I didn't know that. But I was gonna say, like, when I did East 4 on the Super Nintendo, when I translated that, I was like, it was something I didn't really think about at the time when I was initially doing it. But when the East series started picking up steam in the U.S. because of Exceed's releases, and Falcom's general tone was that Adol didn't speak. You know, like, they anytime he spoke, they did it through narration, where, like, Adol said so-and-so.
The only time he ever does speak is when it's a game that Falcom themselves didn't actually program, like Wanderers of Esports.
That's being a little too conservative, in my view, when you have to do it that way. You know
well,
what I mean?
That was, like, a decision on the part of Falcom. But in the original East 4 Mask of the Sun on the Super Famicom, Adol is kind of on the loquacious side. He actually talks a fair amount in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I gave some thought to writing around that and basically just kind of changing his dialogue to a purely this is a line that would be read by a narrator. Mm-hmm. Adol said so and so to so and so, you know, like blah blah blah, in the same kind of style that the Falcom did in their own, like, their own remakes and later games and that kind of thing. And I was like, I later decided, that's probably taking a little too much liberty, like a little more liberty than I'm comfortable.
Yeah, see, that's what we're talking about here, Mug. Like, you as a translator in a localization aren't going to take liberties. You know, that's the whole point.
But, I mean,
like,
the thing is that's a little too blanket a term, because some liberties have to be taken or else you wind up with Final Fantasy IV.
Right. No, I understand that. Like, there's certain things.
Spoony Bard.
It's like translating certain Spanish words into English. They just don't translate. So you have to figure out a way to get that point across without totally destroying the script, right? I mean, that's. Yeah. That's the way it goes. I mean,
or Garland's all knock you all down.
there have been certain words that people ask me, what's the English word for so-and-so? You know, and I'm like, there isn't. I just can't. I the closest is this. You know,
I remember,
I mean?
Exceed's whole hoobaloo about the word use of the word trap in Occubus Trip.
Well, the thing is,
how she decided to settle on that one, because there wasn't really a suitable translation, and it was the closest approximation of what they were saying.
I think we're getting into splitting hairs here, because, like, what these people are doing is they're taking a word like sorceress and changing it into vixen. I mean, that's blatant. Like, that's your own personal, like.
Well, the thing is, that also depends very much on the context of the sentence itself. Like, you know, you can't apply a global change like that.
Right, that's what we're saying. Like, you can't just say, you know, this person's a vixen and not a sorceress. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
these are two words that have very different meanings.
Absolutely. Like, another one.
You could be talking about a sorceress and say, like, this woman, this, you could be referring, like, module,
vixen,
like the,
yeah,
the
yeah.
Japanese word for, you know, female, like a witch. You know, a female magic user, a sorceress.
It also goes on to talk about how a lot of the subtitle cutscenes have poor timing, and how some of the font sizes would change in between lines.
Yeah,
or not showing up in the first place.
Well, I think one thing that you also have to bear in mind is that with a fan translation, you know, you are completely at the whim of the translators.
Right.
Yeah, you know, these are people who are doing unpaid work.
Right.
And like when I started working on Samurai Shodown RPG, which I don't know if it will ever get released, one of the basic principles that I decided on is like, you know, I'm not going to do honorifics because I fucking hate them outside of actual Japanese speech. But, you know, the only Japanese words you will see are like loan words. You might see katana. Mm-hmm. You'll definitely see samurai.
Yeah.
You know, these are words that are in relatively commonplace in the English language.
To your point, Mug, there's a quick line in this that I want to read from someone who was trying to correct these Christian value type things like what we're talking about. And he said, I don't want to stomp all over someone's beliefs, but it's just keep your personal feelings at home when you're translating someone else's work. So that's, I mean, because he's talking about like changing vampire lore to lich and renaming sources.
Which is funny because a lich is something completely different.
Yeah, a lich is an undead thing itself. So
a viable argument that could be made there is that we're both that you're talking about two different varieties of completely made up bullshit.
Yeah, right. I mean,
it's like, and unless you're talking about something that very specifically sucks blood,
right?
You know, you're like, yeah, you could call it or whatever.
Yeah, but that misses the point completely. Like the people intended it to be a vampire. You know, it's like taking the vampires from Anne Rice's novels and translating it in Japanese to say lich, man.
Dubious about that. Again, I don't know the full context of the original script, but if they're using like the English word versus kuketsuki, which literally means blood suck, which is like a word for vampire.
Yeah, but there's certain there's Japanese words. What's the Japanese word for vampire?
Kuketsuki.
Okay.
Literally blood sucking ogre is what.
Okay, but that's their word for vampire. That's what you would use. You wouldn't use something else.
It depends on the context of the original. The thing is, Japanese is not. It's not as extremely prescriptive as a lot of people. It is in some regards, but in a lot of other regards, it's just as fluid and open to interpretation as English is.
Yeah, I understand that, but that misses the point here.
Okay, here's a more salient or more so severe line. Here's this. I'll read this entire paragraph if you don't mind, but when I noticed that he renamed the last boss from Ouroboros to Jogamander, I basically lost all will trying to fix this any further. Reverting changes to items, class, monsters, etc. is one thing, but finding and fixing changes in the story is an unbelievable pain in the ass, so I left it alone. It might be that he just replaced one of mythical serpent for another, and that would have been perfectly fine, but I've got a hunch based on the original name and prevalence of other changes that there was a destruction reincarnation cycle going on that he wanted to edit out. Honestly, there's a 0% chance that the story will actually be worthwhile or interesting to begin with, but a change like that would still be super lame, since he doesn't address any changes unless specifically brought up to him, and even then, only vaguely. I guess he was having exchanges with this guy.
Yeah.
Changes are never going to come like. Without pouring over and comparing the script with the Japanese one, I would have find it very hard to believe that there aren't some significant story changes, but I would honestly probably be about the same amount of effort just to do the new translation from scratch. It's kind of lost cause.
That's the whole point.
I understand
you're going to wait longer for a proper translation for this game.
I guess, and I understand that, but in that case, I kind of have to wonder, it's like, okay, I didn't catch the name of what you said he changed the creature to. Like Ouroboros to something else.
But
was that just a made up name or does that correspond to another piece of mythology?
That's enough. Jormungandr is another mythological creature.
Look, this is my thing. This going back to the vampire Lord Lich thing there. Dungeon Buster brought up a good point. point. The only lich that I know of is
what you say about a pint.
I know that was my thought.
Point. It's a lich to me is D&D. Like that's how I would see it.
Something like a vampire. I mean, yeah. Sure, they'll drain you of your life, but they'll take
it,
your.
Yeah, it's blood. Not. It has nothing to do with sucking blood. That misses the point of a vampire. If I was still doing Vampcast, this would be a great discussion on that show because, I mean, people who are into vampires take that shit very seriously, man.
Well,
it's
been ages since I played D&D, and I don't remember all the specifics of what a lich does. But it's like, if there's anything that involves... Hang on, Eric. Okay. If there's anything about a lich that involves draining life, you could make a very feasible literary argument that there's not much difference. Because the essence, I mean, like in terms of like the traditional Bram Stoker type vampire, like the kind of, you know, the vaguely codified version of vampire, you know, the essence of draining blood is draining life.
Yeah, but look, we're being literal here, Mug. You're trying to, from a philosophical point, you're right. I understand what you're saying. But from a literal point, which is how I'm looking at it, like, there is a difference between a lich and a vampire. And it's
I'm not arguing that there's not. My point is that as a translator, you have to be willing to make literary concessions for the sake of telling it.
But if you don't have to, and you have a word, it's not the case.
I mean, there's no issue of whether or not people would be confused or having to appeal to a certain audience.
Now, you're not getting any argument from me on that regard. It's like if you look at, say, like Castlevania Nocturne in the Moonlight, or, you know, Akumajo right. Dracula, you know, Nocturne in the Moonlight, or Castlevania Symphony of the Night. You look at Legion. They changed its name to Granfulus, the thing is, it's a Kurt Vonnegut reference to like this amassing of that, you know, and it was very specific to what Legion is, this mass of bodies. It's like this, and Granfulus is this amassing of individual minds of a hive mind kind of thing. I don't remember exactly what it means. I haven't read the text that it comes from. Yeah. But it was like it wasn't just completely arbitrary. Whoever came up with it had a reason for it.
No, I understand that.
Well,
this guy had no reason.
Symphony
other
of
than,
translation is historically
right.
bad.
This guy,
it's not that bad though. I mean, most of it, like people be like the what do you hear? That is actually proper English.
No, I understand, but this guy purposely changed it.
The fact like, that it that, wasn't proper English, it was just. Wooden.
Look, this guy just purposely changed it because he was.
I love
a conservative
that speech
Christian,
at the end
that's
the
not
game.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah. No, I.
Who is the man?
Look, Dungeon Buster says
you?
It.
What is a man? Well, that's actually a mistranslation.
Dungeon Buster says,
"What is a man? A miserable little pile of secrets appears nowhere in the Japanese text.
Right.
There's nothing even remotely akin to it. That was purely added."
Dungeon Buster says, "I understand Mug's point, though. Some things just have to be changed. I agree with that. But when you're overtly." When you're blatantly changing it like this guy did to something that's completely different, that's what the whole point
basically
is.
Basically what this whole post was about was then this person tried to fix the translation this guy made and he gave up because it was too difficult.
I mean, judging only what I can based on my own experience and not being familiar with the game or the script involved, I can only say that, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes someone in charge of localization, you have to make changes to make something make sense.
Yeah, but
this is a fan translation. This is a localization. They aren't appealing to a market. They aren't selling this.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I mean though. Like even as a fan translator, you have to have a vision in mind. You know, you can't just go in and translate line by line. Mm-hmm. You have to bear context in mind, and not just in terms of a specific conversation, but of the game as a whole.
Right, like, and that's not knowing everything.
I mean, like it sounds like Eric, you're more familiar with the game in both its translated and original form than I am.
I don't. I'm assuming.
No,
that,
look,
that.
He's assuming based on what this guy who does.
It sounds like they change a significant part of the game.
Yeah, that's
and because of this, its integrity is being compromised.
Yeah, I mean, like if you're talking about something like,
you know, basically a fan translator doing what Atlus did to the original Persona, that's way out of line. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the original Persona, the commercial release of the original Persona for the original PlayStation, you know, you can justify it in the sense that they were trying to make it palatable to a, you know, to an English market.
Yeah. No, you got to read this post, Mug. I think you could get a better grip on what we're trying to get across to you. I know I haven't been the most eloquent in trying
you
to
never
explain
are. It's okay.
You son of a bitch. But look, as a special added bonus, we were talking about vampires. Later on today, I will post a picture of Wiffix. She purchased these vampiric contacts. And they are fucking...
And that's all she's going to wear in the picture?
Dude, yeah. Well, maybe, but it'll only be from the head up, and you guys can only wish. But check this out. She came in here. She freaked the fuck out of me because she had those eyes on. I was like, holy shit. She looks like a fucking vampire, man. I'll post it later, man. It's going to be awesome. But
and she's going to give you head later with those on, and you don't know if you come up,
you son of a bitch. Wow, that's a good idea, man. holy shit, that's a really good idea. Anyways, guys, we got to run because I got to go out do more birthday stuff, but and take pictures of Wiffix, which is always awesome.
And he has to go.
Get out of here, break!
Actually, don't there make will be some video recorded later.
Get out of here! I'm not recording that shit. You guys would only want to see me anyways.
Please, I would much rather see what.
All right, guys, let's do our plug. Start with you, Mug, and just refrain from any of the Wiffix, plugging Wiffix references.
I'd like to plug Wiffix.
Well, I wasn't thinking about those, but now.
I know. Like, you shouldn't have said anything. Anyway, okay.
I've discovered something horrifying.
What?
Someone's made a ROM hack of a Superman for the NES called Kaizo Superman.
Oh, boy.
All right. Anyway, wait, okay. What does that mean?
Do you know what Kaizo Mario is?
No, I don't.
Hellishly designed Mario levels designed to pull your hair out.
Yes.
And Superman for the NES was already a very terrible and hard to play game because it was terrible.
I don't remember
that. Somebody
decided
to make a Kaizo version of it.
So basically, it's like Cat Mario with Superman. I mean, in essence.
All right, but plugs, okay, Mug.
Moving on to plugs. You can reach me on Twitter, at MoriaMug, MoriaMug.
All right. Eric, your plugs.
You know, find my reviews at the following. BostonBastardBrigade.com, VogNetwork.com, TotalEGN.com, HonestGamers.com. And right. You can also find my YouTube page at Funny T-Man, and you can find me on Twitter at EricRPG.
Yeah, and what Eric's not telling you is that cough at the beginning is actually shorthand for http://.
Get out of here, Mike.
No, I wasn't trying to do that, dude.
I know.
All right, Breakman, your plugs.
Let me see here. Let me first plug the state of Iowa because that's where Des Moines is, not in Idaho, like I said.
Breakman doesn't know the map.
I finally admit I'm drunk.
Next up, plugging Wiffix.
You know, unlike most alcoholics where we deny it, I'll just admit it. follow at @break_man, follow at @RPGrinders, follow Stealth and how many other underscores, and happy birthday, Frank.
Oh, appreciate that, man. Where's my fucking presents, man?
I do have a sweet. I have a sweet on.
Whoa! Hold on.
My present.
We gave you a present, and it never gets used.
I have a sweet, but I only forgot to mention it because I kind of mentioned it on Twitter earlier this week.
What?
But I have a Chipotle-like place in my town of Geneva now.
Oh, sweet. Qdoba?
No, not really. I mean, I guess maybe because you can get quesadillas there.
Somewhere a little less aggressively anti-science.
Do they have beer?
So, but basically, I think so, but I'm not sure. I have to check the menu again if I go there again. But basically, you go there and you ask what you want, and then they'll basically serve it to you like Chipotle does. They have all the ingredients. They have chorizo instead of pork, though. They have
chorizo is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love chorizo, man. It's awesome. Is that it, Eric?
Yeah. Okay. It's a little bit more expensive than Chipotle, but I don't know if this is like a promotion like thing, but you get a free bag of tortilla chips and salsa with your order. Sweet. So that might be why it's a little bit more expensive.
There you go. My plugs are as follows: wickedradionetwork.com, @rpgrinders. Get out of here, you son of a bitch.
It's hair plugs.
Let's see.
Actually, you were going to say earlier, talking about level caps. My level cap for aging is next year because I'll hit 42.
Oh, I forgot to plug something else. But before we go, our friend Flabby Sausage asked us about
motherfucker.
Go ahead, Flabby Sausage asks us what?
Did I interrupt you? I'm sorry, Mario.
No, go ahead, Flabby Sausage, man.
Anyways, he asked if any of us were still playing Final Fantasy the Record Keepers, and he said to follow him. It's at Flabby Sausage. Well, what you need is a friend ID. And so if anybody wants to add me who's watching or who's listening, they're staring at the podcast. Anyway, anybody's listening, my friend ID is capital V, lowercase K, lowercase Z, capital W.
All right. There you go.
So Flabby, if you want to add me, it's capital V, lowercase K, lowercase Z.
And Muggs is Muggs is capital V, lowercase I, lowercase A, lowercase G, lowercase R, lowercase A. That's Muggs.
You don't have to need it to enjoy it.
Get out of here.
It's party at Muggs. Let's see.
I want to thank the chatters.
I'm way too Frank's horny birthday all the time.
Get out of here.
Dude, I'm way too horny all the time to need Viagra.
They need a pill to do the opposite to you. Then. All right,
you want me, bitch.
My other plugs go to the chatters. I know Freakfy was in here for a short time. Wyland, thanks for showing up. Kazin, thanks for showing up. Dungeon Buster is always. Gripper, where were you? Son of a bitch, on my birthday. And exiled. Son of a bitch.
Let's give a shout out to Slagar for tweeting at us.
Yeah, and Slagar. Thanks for tweeting. And he usually shows up in chat. I'm surprised he's not in here today. But and that's about it. Be on the lookout. I haven't been on Twitter, but I will be.
Oh, be looking for this shit.
Oh, man. You guys got to see these contacts, man. They're fucking crazy. She got some zombie ones and some vampire ones, and they're both fantastic, man. She's
Before we go, guys,
yeah.
Have you seen all that furor that started a few days ago about Ruby Rose?
No.
She's this Ruby Rose. This is actress who is on Orange Is the New Black. Very attractive woman who happens to look. She has this weird kind of boyish sort of look about her, kind of androgynous. You know, she's like, she could be attractive to either a male or a female. And so there was this big furor about her. It's like, you know, like women talking about like, I'm not sure I'm straight. You know, like, and some. Gay women talking about, like, nah, it's a little not okay. You know, it's like basically kind of, you know, co-opting the whole gay thing. And what's interesting is, like, she has this, you know, her hair is buzzed on one side, and she's this very attractive woman, and yet she still has this sort of, you know, this vaguely masculine sense about her. It's like, okay, yeah, I kind of get it. And then you have this, like, you know, I have a child who's decided to take on that look. I'm like, okay, you know, it's interesting. Like, look her up and see what you think, and I'll be curious to hear your opinion.
What is it?
Ruby Rose.
Ruby Rose.
Like gemstone flower. Yeah, Ruby Rose.
Ruby Rose.
I'm just gonna have to get Netflix one day.
Yeah, I could see that. Looks like a Leonardo DiCaprio kind of look in some pictures. And
whoa, if she's got a mustache, I'm out.
No mustache, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Leo is a damned attractive man.
Get out of here, Mug. Actually, you know what? You know what? You're right.
He is an attractive man.
Some people have compared me to Leonardo DiCaprio. There's no joke, man.
But only while drunk.
Get out of here. Not even
you
while
them
drunk.
Call them racist?
Completely sober, you son of a bitch. Anyways. All right.
Are you calling me white? You.
No, I was like, I am not an oppressor.
All right, guys, that's about it. Otherwise, I'm not going to go eat dinner. So
have a nice 73rd birthday, Frank.
I hate you. I should hang up on you.
You mean 3,573rd.
Hung up on Mug, son of a bitch. All right, guys, that's about it. Stay safe this weekend. And that's about it from all of us at RP Grinders. We really enjoy you guys listening to us and all of our shenanigans and all that type of stuff. So thank you very much for listening. And like I said, stay safe this weekend. We'll see you here.
And happy birthday, Frank. And if you want to know more about Frank, you can check him out in your local museum.
All right, man. Bitch. Frank, happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday and have fun consuming your wife.
You betcha, my friend. Homie ain't nothing changed. Hold down, G's up. I see exhibit in the cut. And make it all that beat up.
Happy birthday to Frank.